It's great to be here this morning, and I want to extend my welcome and to say hello all the way down on the south coast in Chichester. It's great that we can join together from across the world this morning just to spend some time together, to continue to discern together and to worship together. So it's great to be here this morning. Today we're going to be spending time talking together. The focus for the service this morning is worship and prayer and also discussion. So there'll be a very small bit of input from me, but mainly we're going to be talking together and continuing this conversation about what it means, our vision as a community as we move into the next few months and this year. So the plan is to spend three blocks of time talking together, and Hilary's also going to lead us in worship between those sections to keep us focused and also to keep that constant going back to God as we talk with one another. And we're going to continue with this theme of listening and what it means to listen together, to discern together. So our focus this morning will be thinking about what it means to listen to each other as a church community, as church, what it means to listen to God. And then finally, we're going to spend some time just talking about what it means for us to listen to the community, to our neighbours around us. But as I start, I'm just going to read you some verses from John 15. And that's continuing with this amazing series that we're following at the moment, focusing on these three chapters in John. It's one that we've looked at before, but I think it's really helpful, this verse, for us this morning. So I'm going to read it to us. So it's from John 15, verse 16. And this is what Jesus said. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another. So in that short verse, all those three things that we're going to talk about this morning are there, aren't they? Going out to our neighbours, our community. There's this idea of loving one another, being committed to one another as church family. And then keeping connected to God, listening to him, asking him, speaking to the Father. So we're going to spend time in all those three different areas as we talk this morning. But first of all, I just want to thank you so much for the last service that we were together. We had some great discussion time during that as well. And I've been able to collate that and pick out some themes that came through from our last discussion time. If you're interested in seeing the collation, you're very welcome. I can send it out to you, and David's got a copy of that. But basically, a lot of the questions that we're going to consider this morning have come out of that discussion time that we had before. And the idea of this time together is not to answer lots of questions, but to start a conversation that will help us to prayerfully be creative in the way that we move forward together. So this first slot, we're going to be thinking about listening to the church, listening to each other, what that might mean as we consider and discern what God is calling us to do. And it's this whole idea of calling. It was quite interesting presenting you that with that tricky question, first of all, last time. And I think for a few people, there was a bit of a scratching of heads what that might mean for us as a whole church community. And many of us are quite familiar with this idea of being called as individuals, but maybe hadn't thought through so much what it might mean to be called as a whole community here in Seer Green and the locality that we live in. But what's amazing when you look at scripture, God does call individuals, doesn't he, a lot, but he also calls communities and families a lot consistently throughout the Bible. So right at the beginning, God worked through a family, through the family of Abraham and the different characters and people there. As the Bible story follows us through, we discover that God focuses his heart and his calling on a whole nation, the Jewish nation. And then as we move into the New Testament, we discover that calling continues, and the calling comes to us as church. And you've been spending an amazing series just listening and looking at the letters that Paul wrote to many of those church communities, and what he was calling to them in their individual places, in the localities that they're in. And they're very diverse and rich, aren't they, Paul's letters? But they were written to individual communities that were facing different types of challenges. And then finally, the book right at the end to Revelations, the letters of John are to church communities, whole groups of people. And this is really encouraging to us, because we are called to have a vision as a group of people. We're individuals within that, and we have amazing gifts and abilities, but God calls us together. And that's reassuring, because we don't do this on our own. We do it together, and we need each other to be able to follow the calling through. I talked this through a little bit with David in the week, and it was really exciting for me, actually, just to revisit or to have a look at your 2020 vision that you spent time praying through and discussing as a church family, this vision that you feel called to into the next few years. And it made me think a little bit about this idea of calling and vision, because I know some people have maybe been thinking about that and what that might mean. And for me, the calling is from God, and the vision bit is the bit that we hear and listen to that calling, and then we work out what we need to do in our own locality, in our own place. Because the Bible is very clear that God is a God of time. Time is in his hands. We've read that this morning. And God is a God of place. He works in place. He's a real God who works in through people, through communities, and in places. And he asks us to join him with that, and he gives us a vision to do that. And as I looked at your vision, your 2020 vision, I started to get really excited as I began to think through the implications of it. Because last year you made the decision that you felt that God was calling you as a church to be fruitful small groups, interrelated, interconnected. But within that, there's a real sense of this call of relationship, that relationships are important to you, that you feel that God is calling you to be a church that is relational. And missional writers write about this. They talk and they use the word, some of you will know it already, of being incarnational. This idea of the importance of relationships, being present in a place and in a community. And it's inspired by Jesus himself. In John 1, it talks about the fact that Jesus became flesh and blood and moved into our neighbourhood. That's the Message version. Well, it's a lovely idea, isn't it, of Jesus moving into our neighbourhood, the incarnation. Other versions, other translations of the Bible talk about him coming and living amongst us. Pitching his tent is another translation of that. But this real idea of Jesus being present in our world. And that's what your vision is all about. It's about being present, present to one another, knowing each other, strong relationships. But it's also about being relational, being neighbours, good neighbours, being part, very much integrated into your community. And I think that's a fantastic vision, a calling to be called into. So we're going to spend, in our first slot, we're going to break just once. We're going to break into smaller groups this week. The rest of the discussion will be together. But we thought it would be good just to break into small groups for about 10 minutes. It's an opportunity to catch up, find out what sort of weeks you've had with each other. And then the question just for you to get you started and get you thinking is this vision that you feel called to of being small groups, of being relational. And the bit what I want you to think about, just to get started with, about what this might look like, this idea of being relational as we begin to plan together. So that's the question for you. What might it look like to be relational as we plan together? So I'm going to pass back to David. He's going to put us into some groups. Say hi if you don't know people in your group, and find out what sort of week you've had, and then have a go at this question. And we're going to spend this next slot just thinking about what it might mean to help us to listen to God more as a community of his people. One of the things that I found absolutely fascinating was looking at your feedback from the discussion 2 weeks ago that we had and reflecting on that. And then this week, reading some of the discussion in your church night as you formed your vision 2020, because some key themes came through from your discussion that are right there in your vision. And I think that's really exciting. As we listen together as God's people, there are some key things that he's speaking to us that we are picking up together as his people. So last time we spoke, there were some really kind of clear themes that came through from all the groups. And I just wanted to share with you. So the first one, we've already talked about this idea of being relational. All of the groups picked up on this idea of God calling us into relationship with one another, but also in Seer Green and in the localities that we find ourselves in. And a lot of the groups talked about how we feel called to express God's love and his joy and his care and his welcome. And that's also there in your 2020 vision. And that's really exciting. Another thing that came through from the discussion 2 weeks ago was this idea of that we need God, that we need to pray, that prayer needs to be central to everything that we do to enable us to listen. And again, all the groups talked about this. And for me, that's incredibly encouraging because this is so important, isn't it? That prayer is about us speaking to God, but there's that huge element of also listening as we move forward. And then the final sort of theme that came through from all the groups is this real heart that you have that has grown in you as a church community about being witnesses and sharing the good news. But that needs to come out of our own experiences of Jesus. So if we're going to do this well, we need to listen. We need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit and we need to stay connected, which is the other big theme, isn't it, in John, that we are disciples, that we follow behind Jesus in his steps as his disciples. And that talks about being committed ourselves individually, doesn't it, to following Jesus. So we're going to use this next slot, and it's going to be an open floor now rather than going back into smaller groups, because I thought it would be good to share this point now, some ideas together. And it's a very practical thing. It's thinking about what we can do as a church family together over the next 4 months to keep this listening process going as we wait and start to prepare, particularly as Hilary was talking about, as we come out of lockdown and some of the things that we've learned and what it might mean as we step into this vision of mission that you feel called to and that you've called me to as well. So put your thinking caps on. Are there any things that we can do together collectively that might help us to carry on this discerning process? Does anybody have any thoughts or anything that can get the discussion going? Over to you.
Well, let me say one thing just to kick us off then, and that's to plug the Bible reading. So I do this every week. So you'll all know that we're reading through John at the moment, and that's off the back of reading through Hebrews and other books before Christmas. We regularly get between 12 and 14 people on that, and we just go through a chapter at a time. Now, I know that not everybody can make lunchtime. I know that it's inconvenient for some. I know that others are reading different books. I know that Discovery is going through Mark, I believe, at the moment. So I'm not saying that this is the only thing, but it's really just to say how much we've appreciated reading the Bible together to hear from each other and to hear from God. And almost every day, every time we read it, I certainly see something new, and I think that's the same for the others. So just this week, we've done the wedding at Cana, water into wine. We've done Nicodemus coming to visit Jesus at night, and we've done the Samaritan woman at the well. And I think in each of those three accounts, the way that Jesus was incredibly relational, met people where they were, didn't really mind where he went or what he did in a sense, but the people that he met were the important thing for him. And I think that just spoke to all of us once again about the interest and importance of being relational. So that would be my one thing, Louise. Let's read the Bible in whatever way works for you. But let's all read the Bible over the next 4 months.
Is there a way that that could be shared across the church as well? I'm just thinking as you're hearing and listening together and some of you might not be able to connect with that, whether there's a conversation that can start as you start to really listen, reading the Bible together, whether there's some way that you can share that across the whole church family, might be something to think about.
Yeah, it's a good point. I know when we were doing it last year, Hillary was keeping... Hillary, you keep quite a log, don't you, of a record of pictures and so on. And
yeah.
So if we can find some way of sharing that, perhaps, that'd be good. Steve, I can see you've come off mute.
That might have been accidentally just waiting, but thank you for asking me and giving me an invitation. I'd just like a very quick comment, one sentence to read. I just wrote it down. It was on the back of what you read out, I think, or Louise said about Chris Justice and his comment about becoming a community of discipleship makers. I just wrote down that somehow we need to have a realistic discernment and understanding and assessment of what community of disciples we are now, what that really looks like, before we can become a community of discipleship makers. So there might be lots of people being good individual disciples, if you like, doing good stuff. But to be a community of discipleship makers, which is what Chris Justice, I think, is saying, that's a different ball game. So I think we need an assessment first of what is... I'm not quite sure how we do that, but to recognise where we actually in reality are as a community of disciples, as we are now, is quite... I think it's quite central to the to this area we're talking about.
I was just going to add on to Steve there that one of the things we might like to do when I arrive is to spend some time looking at some of the teaching around whole life discipleship, which might be a helpful thing that people might like to do that we can pick up later on in the year, if that's helpful. There's some really good resources that we can use for that.
Another comment that Louise and I have spoken about that is a possibility, and it depends what the church feels like, is possibility of introducing prayer triplets. We've done it before in other churches when it worked really well, and perhaps it might work well in Sea Green.
We have had prayer triplets here in the past.
Yes, that's right. Well, we've done it in other churches as well, but just a thought for what we may do here.
And even prayer partners on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really work for three on the phone, but it works well for two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm involved in a prayer triplet. I have been for many years, and I find it incredibly helpful. And we've been doing lots of Zooming, and we've been doing it on Zoom, actually, the three of us recently. So there's lots of creative ways that it can be done in twos or threes. One of the helpful thing about prayer triplets is that it also helps with what Steve was talking about discipleship, because as well as praying together, the idea is that you're accountable to one another as well. And that helps you in your path to encourage each other, I think. So I've certainly experienced that myself.
That's what I was going to say, Louise. You need to be encouraging to one another if you feel like you may make even small steps in your discipleship fruitfulness. You still need to encourage each other that even small steps can make a great significance. Like what wind up in the end. So I think we need to be careful how encouraged we are towards each other and continue to encourage one another each day.
Thanks, Charlie. Yeah, I think, yes, I really agree with that. Encouragement is key, isn't it? And we're journeying together and encouraging each other. We're cheering each other on. That's the idea.
I think another thing we can do is pray for each other. And I wonder if I could ask either Monica or Anne to speak, because I know you're thinking and praying together along with Jana about restarting toddlers. So there are different groups thinking about different things, and I think we can support you in prayer. So either Monica or Anne, is there anything that we can all be praying for as you're going through this process?
I don't know where Anne is on the screen.
She's up there.
She's not online. Do you want me to say something?
Monica.
I've already chatted in our little group just now about it. And okay. I don't know. Just to say, you know, we've got this toddler group that's been very successful for years and years and draws people from far and wide. And it's very much like Andrew described at one time, a one fish activity, where it's a marvellous opportunity to meet loads of people who we otherwise wouldn't have contact with. So from that aspect, it's brilliant. But we struggle to be able to move it forward in growing people as Christians with such a large group. And our prayer is, what do we do? We have this opportunity as lockdown finishes to be able to open it as something slightly different. But what? Because we don't want to lose the opportunity of making new relationships so easily in this situation. It's something that I think after lockdown is very valuable, because people have missed the social side of life, and it, for the little ones, it's really important. So we can't forfeit that. Yet we do need to think how we can disciple, some, you know, grow those relationships to a point where we're discipling people in the Christian faith. And Anne, is there something to add to that?
I think you've said all that we've been discussing, really. Yeah, just how to move it on, and how to bring what an element of more of a discussion or a talk into the sessions, how that would work, or focus on the mums more. Really just thinking around it, and who we're aiming at, mums or the wider community. Please pray for us as we discuss it.
That occurred to me as something we can all do, is support you in prayer now that we know that you're working through that.
It's much more helpful, isn't it, to have very practical, clear things to pray for as well. So that's a really good example of being able to pray very specifically, isn't it, for a particular vision or calling for that smaller group that's working in that area. So that's really helpful.
And on the same sort of note, I know that Terry and Nolene and Jill, I think, and possibly others, you're thinking what to do with the coffee as that comes out of lockdown and the new opportunities that presents.
We drink coffee.
I drink coffee as well.
Oh, he's just trying to unmute.
I was just trying to unmute myself there. COVID has really made coffee get-togethers very interesting, because had a very routine meeting of people in the church every week, and that had to stop. So we've obviously taken the coffee out to people, and that's by going to the pub, which is pretty successful, really, in terms of numbers of people and different people coming in. That's had to stop, of course, at the moment. And we have a Zoom coffee meeting, which Jill hosts every week, and that's pretty popular.
But we don't get it out.
So lots of thoughts about how to take this forward. And we're certainly not going to just go back to the church, I think, once a week, and do it as we did it. We need to. Again, the question, same with toddlers, that was raised is, you know, do we want to introduce any sort of Christian input other than just be witnesses and talk to people? It is very much a social occasion. So lots of things to think about.
Right, thank you, Terry. Something else for us all to pray for.
There's two things there that come to mind. One, Terry, and that of just echoing what Hilary said earlier on about it's taking that step from being good disciples to becoming disciple makers. And it is a fine line that we tread. But the other thing is, of course, it's a big reminder here of the practicalities. There'll be lots of people who will say, well, I want to get involved, I want to help, but I can't because I'm not physically able. I don't have the ability to get out and about. This idea of prayer triplets, and more importantly, prayer partners, it's a reminder to people that they can do something, because they can become prayer partners to these initiatives. And if they do nothing else from their own homes, they can actually pray. And it's, you know, we must remember and emphasize the importance and the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. And so everybody has a part to play within our community, even if it is only, and not, I'm not belittling that by saying even if it is only, even if the only thing that you do is to pray for somebody else, to pray for an initiative, to pray for one of the groups. That is a very, very big part and a very important part to play within our church community, our church life.
Praying for each other. The WhatsApp group is fantastic. I mean, I can personally testify to answered prayer, prayer that's been kind of immediate and right on the spot. I think the WhatsApp group is a really good way of that immediate link with each other.
But again, the problem is the WhatsApp group in itself, whilst it has become a powerful part of our weaponry, if you like, actually does exclude a large number of the people in the church who won't be members of WhatsApp, who won't know how to become members of WhatsApp. So we've got to find some way of encouraging more and more people to actually get involved and to feel that they are involved.
Thanks, everybody. That's really helpful discussion for me as well, because it's making me think about some things that I might be able to help you with as I sort of come into the year. And that's another maybe key area for us about how we link and network a lot of our prayer that's going on. And Jill's obviously very involved in this as well, how we can build on that, but keep that feedback going so that we're encouraging one another and keeping connected. So that's something that I can maybe focus on as well as I arrive. Did you want to say something, Jill? I noticed that you... Did you want to add something? You're unmuted.
I was listening.
Fantastic. I'm just going to bring this section to an end because we're going to move on in a minute just for a bit more reflection when I hand back to Hilary. But thank you so much for that. I think it's just gives us an idea of some of the conversations that we can continue with over these next few months as we begin to prepare... two very key areas of ministry that we've talked about this morning as well that we can pray for. But it's that conversation, talking to one another intentionally about this and praying together. Maybe the challenge of thinking about triplets or linking up with one other person. That might be something you might want to take away. And also just maybe opportunities as we begin to get out and about and can make more contact with one another, whether there's a chance to meet up for a walk and to talk through things with another person at some point. So I'd really encourage you to join in with this as we talk and discuss, and particularly pray for some of the ministries that are beginning to open up as well. So we're on to the third slot now. We've thought about what it means to listen to each other and as church, what it might mean for us moving forward to listen to God. And this final section is about listening to the community. This is a huge slot, and just looking at the time now, we probably don't have time to open this up for discussion this morning, so this might be something to revisit in the future. But I want to leave you with a challenge for this slot, for you to really begin to start to think or pray into your local community. So we're talking particularly about Sea Green, but it might be that there's some things that God's speaking to you from the outside areas of Sea Green as well, if in Beaconsfield or other localities as well. But my challenge for you is to be praying if God is leading you to a particular group of people that you feel that God is challenging you about or you have a heart for. And this could be a group that you're already involved with. So we've talked about toddlers already in Coffee Morning. The Graft are very much involved with families across the village. But I'd just like to give you this challenge over the next month to ask God to speak to you about a group that he might be drawing you near to. It could be a passion that you have, like up the allotment, or it could be your neighbour. It could be friends that you speak to from home, but a group of people that you have a real heart for to share the good news with, that you long to know the Lord Jesus. And I just want to ask you to write that down, and we'll try and share some of that together and see if God is speaking to us in that way. And at some point in the future, we'll continue with this conversation about what it means to really listen to our community, what God might be calling us to into our neighbourhoods.